Okay, we're going to continue our study of sin, and we're still in Romans. So tonight we'll pick up in Romans chapter 7, and we'll begin at verse 13. Now this passage that we're going to go look at tonight is from verse 13 through the end of the chapter, verse 25. And this is a passage that can be kind of confusing if you don't really understand what he's already taught in chapters 6 particularly. And in chapter 6, he was teaching us about why we shouldn't sin. And he's continuing that here. And when he started off, he had just got through teaching that however much sin we sin, God's grace is greater than that sin. That where sin abounds, grace abounds that much more. So the question that he asked was, well, since the more we sin, the more grace there is, should we just sin a whole bunch so that we can get more grace? And the answer was certainly not. You know, don't do that. And the reason why was, he said, was, don't you know that you are dead to sin? And then he goes on to teach us about what that means. And what he taught was that when we get saved, spiritually, we are crucified with Jesus. We die with him. We're buried with him, and then we're resurrected to new life. And that's what happens in a moment at the time that we get saved. And at that time, we become a new person spiritually. So every person on earth is made up of two parts primarily, a spiritual part, the spirit and the soul, and a physical part, the body that we deal with. And when we're born in sin. The spiritual part of us and the fleshly or the human bodily part of us are both sinful. And at some point in our life, if we get saved, the spiritual part of us dies and is resurrected from the dead and given new life in Christ. And then as we live out our life, at some point in the future, our body will also die. And then it will be resurrected to newness of life in Christ, and then we'll be completely new. There will be no more sin in us at all. We'll have the full life that God intended us to have, and it'll be the life of Christ in us, both spiritually and physically. That's the way it works. So, between the time that we get saved and the time that we die, or the Lord comes back and just translates us and transforms us, one of those two things, between those two points in time, we're in this place to where we are kind of, you know, schizophrenic almost. We have these two parts of us that are that don't get along real well. We have the spiritual part of us that now has the life of Christ that no longer has sin at all and desires to serve God and desires not to sin anymore. Yet at the same time, that spirit is still within a body that is corrupted by sin, that does desire to sin. And the two of those are contrary to each other. They're working against each other. It talks about that. This whole passage that we're going to look at here from 13 through the end of 7 through the first half of chapter 8 is summed up in three verses in Galatians. And it basically says there that if we'll walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if we allow God's Spirit to control our spiritual part and we live in that, then we won't allow our flesh to cause us to sin. But there's a conflict there. It says these two are contrary one to the other so that you cannot do the things that you want to do. We've all experienced that, right? And then he says that if we'll walk in the Spirit, then we won't be under the law because the flesh won't control us, but the Spirit will. And that's basically, those three verses in Galatians sums up what he says in the last half of chapter 7 and the first half of chapter 8. So it's really important that we understand that that's the state that we're in right now. That we're conflicted. That we have two parts within us that are at war with one another. Where one wants to do one thing and the other wants to do the other thing. And it makes it difficult on us. And when we understand that that's the state that we're in, then when we read this last half of Romans chapter 7, it'll make perfect sense to us. If we don't realize that, then it's very, very confusing. So, with that being said, let's begin in Romans chapter 7, verse 13. So he just finished up talking about how the law is holy and just and good in verse 12. So then he asked another question. Has then what is good become death to me? So he's saying, has this good thing, the law, has it become something that produces death in me? Is the law that's holy and just and good a bad thing, really, because it makes me die? And his answer is certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin, through the commandment, might become exceedingly sinful. What he's saying is the law is not bad. Sin is bad. And the law was intended to show us how bad sin is, to make sin exceedingly sinful. So it's not the law that kills us, it's sin that kills us. But it's the law that makes sin sinful. And it's the law that states this is the verdict of sin, which is death. So it was actually the sin that's producing death in us, but it was the law, which is good, that executes the sentence. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. So here's the thing. We have these two parts to us. We have this spiritual part that is new and has new life and is no longer sinful. And we have this, what's called carnal, or the flesh, just our human body, our humanness, that is still corrupted by sin. And he says, the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. My body is carnal, sold under sin. Our bodies, this word sold under sin actually means sold to someone as a slave. So this body of ours is still sold into slavery to sin. And it's controlled by sin. So the law is spiritual, but our flesh is carnal. Our flesh is sinful. And it is completely controlled by sin. Now, there's this idea that the law is contrary to spirituality that some people have. That if you're going to be spiritual, you've got to give up the law. And keeping the law, you can't be spiritual. That's really not true. What it is, the problem is that some people think that you become spiritual by keeping the law. But that's not the way it works. If we are spiritual, then we will keep the law. That's the way that it works. So when we allow the Spirit to control us, then we're not under the law, because the Spirit will help us keep the law. Now, verse 15. For what I am doing, I do not understand. Ever felt like that? I just don't understand why I keep doing these things. I don't understand why I have such a hard time stop doing this, or why I have such a hard time doing these things that I know are good, that I really want to do, but I end up not doing them. That's what Paul is talking about here. He's saying, these things that I'm doing, I don't understand. I don't understand why I act the way that I act. And the reason why is because there's these two parts within him and these two parts within us that are fighting against each other. And that's what he goes on to explain. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. Now, how many of you have ever thought, you know, I don't pray often enough. I don't read my Bible enough. I don't ask God what to do often enough. I just go off and do my own thing. You know, but we want to do those things, right? I will to do those things. I desire to pray. I desire to read and study my Bible. I desire to serve God. I desire to ask Him what to do and to live by His will. But I don't do it. Over and over and over again. Day in and day out. But what I hate, that I do. Things that I really despise about myself, that I really don't want to do anymore. Yet I keep finding myself doing those things. I mean, do you ever feel like that? And that's what Paul is pointing out here. He's showing us this is what's happening in us. This is this conflict that's there. Verse 16. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. Now, this verse here is a confusing one. This one has confused me over and over again. But it's really pretty straightforward. He says, if I do what I will not to do. So if my desire is to not do this certain sin that I'm prone to. And each one of us has this area of sin that we're very prone to, that we struggle with all the time. So if I do what I desire not to do, this sin that I really don't want to do, when I do that, even though I don't want to do it, at that point, I'm agreeing with the law that the law is good. Because what I'm saying is, I'm doing this thing, but I don't want to do it. I know that it's wrong. In my heart, I don't want to do this thing, yet I do it anyway. And when I have that feeling, that conflict within me, that shows that in my spirit, I actually agree with the law and say that the law is right and good and when it condemns me in my sin. Because I realize that it's sinful, yet I still struggle and still do it. So just because I do those things that are wrong doesn't mean that I don't believe that it's wrong, is what he's saying. I do believe that it's wrong, but there's this struggle there. And he goes on to explain it. Verse 17. But now, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So when I come to this situation and I don't want to do this thing, I will not to do it, yet I fall right back into it again. At that point, I'm saying that I agree with the law. I really shouldn't be doing this. And what that reveals is that it's no longer I who do this sin over and over. The new part of me, the part of me that's been reborn, the spiritual part of me, is not what's doing this. It's the other part of me that's doing this. It's sin that dwells in me. It's the sin that lives in this body. Just like the Spirit dwells within us, the Holy Spirit does, sin also dwells within us still because this body hasn't been changed yet and sin wiped out. So he's saying, when I do those things that I don't really want to do, it's not really me that's doing it, the new part of me, the spiritual part that doesn't want to do it. It's the old part that hasn't been transformed yet. It's this flesh, this body, this humanness that keeps doing those things that I don't want to do. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, in my body, in my humanness, nothing good dwells. So that's the way that we were born into this world. We were born sinners. We were born sinful spiritually and fleshly and bodily and in our human form. And when we get saved, the spiritual part of us gets transformed and there's no longer sin there. But our physical part is still sinful. And that's what he's saying here. I know that in me, nothing good dwells. Just like before I got saved, there was nothing good in me, spiritual or physical. After I got saved, now there's something good within me, spiritual, but within my flesh, there's still nothing good that dwells there. The scripture says there's none righteous, no, not one, for they've all gone astray. We've all gone after our own ways. That's still there in our bodies. It hasn't changed yet. The promise is that it will one day, but it hasn't yet. Nothing good dwells there. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. There we have that conflict. The desire is there. My will wants to stop doing these sins, yet my flesh continues to do them. Somehow, I can't find within me, fleshly, a way to stop doing those things, a way to perform that which is good. Verse 19. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Again, he's just restating this same situation that we are all very familiar with. I want to do these good things, and I don't do it. I don't want to do these evil things, but I do them anyway. That's where we are. And it's a very frustrating place to be, right? We're wanting to become more and more like Christ, yet there's this constant conflict. There's this constant, thing going on that's holding us back. This constant thing working against us. What is that? That thing is the sin that's still in our bodies that haven't been transformed yet. You know, if we don't realize this, and if we don't understand that this is what is going on within us, we can get very discouraged, thinking there's something wrong with me. I'm different than everybody else. Nobody else is having this problem, because I can't see into your mind and see all the things you're struggling with. But I know the things I'm struggling with, and you know the things that you're struggling with. If we don't realize that this is the natural state of where we are right now, we can get really discouraged and just throw up our hands and say, there's no sense in even trying. There's no way out of this thing. But we're not alone. We're not the only ones. This is a place where we all are as believers. This is where Paul was. Paul's in this same place that we are. Verse 20. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So if I desire to not do this thing, yet I do it anyway, the real me that has been saved is not the one that's doing it. It's the fleshly part of me that hasn't been saved yet, that hasn't been transformed yet, that's doing it. Verse 21. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. See, this isn't just a circumstance that some people find themselves in. This is a law, just like gravity. This is a law. This is the reality of all humanity, that we are sinful and we are prone towards sin. And we're born that way, and we're that way our whole life. When we get saved, part of us gets transformed and is not like that anymore. But it still has to deal with the part of us that is, that won't be transformed until either the Lord comes back, until we die and are resurrected. It's a law. Everybody is dealing with this. It's not just you, and it's not just me. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. It says, the thing that I really want, the thing that I desire more than anything else is the law of God. I desire to be obedient to Him and to do the things that He wants me to do. That is what I delight in according to the inward man. He's talking about that part of us that's already been transformed, that wants to be like Jesus, that wants to be pleasing to God, that wants to stop sinning, that wants to do the things that He wants me to do. That part of me delights in the law of God. But, verse 23, I see another law in my members. It says, but I see this thing going on in my body. The members is our body, our arms and our legs and our head and those things. I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. This word here, warring, is, it literally means a war. It doesn't mean just a little fight like me and Joe fighting against each other. This is a war going on. This is a full-fledged, long-term, lifelong campaign that's planned and designed and working to accomplish an end. There is a well-planned war going on within each of us, fighting against the new part. So the old part, the sinful part, is fighting against the new part. And it's waging a full-fledged war, a campaign against the law of my mind, against what this new part of me wants. There's a war going on there. And it says that in this war, my members, my body, my humanness, is fighting against my mind, my spirit, my desire to do what God wants me to do, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So this word here, captivity, so he's carrying on this whole war picture here. So he says that there's a war going on, and in this war, what's happening is that your body, and the word here literally means taking a spear and pointing it at somebody and taking them captive. That you captured them, they don't have a weapon, you got a spear pointed to them, and they're yours, and you're capturing them, and you're taking them prisoner. That's the word being used here. Our bodies are warring against us, and if we don't win in that war, they're going to take us captive. They're going to take us prisoner to the law of sin, which is in my members. So sin, if we're not careful, can capture us and take us prisoner. And it'll do it even if we are careful at times. So this war is going on, this full-fledged campaign of our flesh against our spirit, the sinful part of us against the righteous part. and it will take us into captivity to the law of sin, which is in this body, this flesh that we still have. So, at this point, the situation seems fairly desperate, right? It's like, whoa, good grief. You know, I mean, this is the way, this is the life that I'm going to be living from the rest of my life? Is this the way that it is? Is this how it works? Yeah. Until the day we die, there is this conflict within us. Paul was experiencing it as he wrote Romans and all these other things. He had been experiencing this for years and years. This is the experience that we have right now. This is the reality of where we are. We are half redeemed. We are half new and half old. Our spiritual part has been completely changed. It's without sin, and it only desires God's will. And it delights in God's law and in obedience to God. Yet at the same time, that spiritual part of us is still living within this old fleshly body that's prone to sickness and to sin and to death. And one day we'll die. And when we do, then we'll go to be with the Lord and we'll be transformed. We'll be changed. We'll be given a body that is no longer working against our spirit. We'll become one again. See, when we was born, we was one, but we was one in sin. When we got saved, we became split, part sinful and part righteous. And then one day, when the Lord comes back and transforms us, or after we die and are resurrected, we'll become one, spiritual and holy and pure, and that conflict will no longer be there. That's why Paul said things like, you know, I'm really torn, guys. I can't decide whether I want to live on in this body, experiencing this situation that I'm in, or whether I want to go on and be with the Lord and be transformed and no longer have to deal with this anymore. But I'm willing to stay here for you guys' benefit so I can help you and teach you and help you to become what the Lord wants you to be. But it sure would be nice to shed this body and go on and be with Him, right? And that's the perspective that we need to have. We need to understand that's where we are, and that's where we want to be, is with the Lord. Now, he says in verse 23 that this war is going on. My members, my body is warring, carrying on this campaign, this long-term campaign organized against the law of my mind, against the spiritual part of me that's new. And it, over and over again, it captures me. It gets me with that spear and it takes me captive and I fall into sin again. And in verse 24, he exclaims, "Oh, wretched man that I am." You ever feel like that? Yeah. "Oh, wretched person that I am. You know, how can I continue on like this? Oh, wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Who is going to save me from this body that keeps dragging me right back into sin? I want to get out of it, and it drags me right back in over and over again. Who will deliver me?" This word "deliver" goes right along with the words that of this war situation. So warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity, capturing me. Then deliver means to free you, to set you free from captivity. Who is it that's going to set me free from this captivity that my body keeps capturing me into, to sin? Who will set me free? Who will deliver me? The answer is in verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, for years and years, that phrase right there really baffled me. It's like, really? I mean, that's anticlimactic. I've been reading this thing for years. When I get to this point, I'm like, oh, wretched man that I am. Yeah, I can identify with that. Who's going to deliver me from this? I can identify with that too. And then he just goes, I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. I'm like, really? Is that what? I mean, I always read that as, I am thankful to God through Jesus. I give thanks to God through Jesus. That's not what it's saying at all. What it's saying is, He says, who will deliver me from this body of death? He says, I thank God that he's going to deliver me from this body of death through Jesus Christ, my Lord. That's what he's saying. He's not saying, I give thanks through Jesus Christ. He says, I give thanks to God that through Jesus Christ, he is going to deliver me from this body of death. That's how we deal with this body, is through Jesus Christ and his life within us. That's the only way we can overcome this sinful body that is so powerful, is through him delivering us. See, that's the thing. We tend to think of Jesus as saving us from being sinners, and that's the end of it. He saved me. No, he did save you, and he is saving you still from sin, day in and day out. That's what he's there for. That's why the Holy Spirit and Jesus dwells within us, is so that he can continue to save us from sin. He saved us initially when we believed on him, and then day in and day out, he will continue to save us from this body of sin that we live in, that's warring against us and constantly poking us with that spear of sin, trying to make us captives again to sin, just like we were before. That's what it's constantly trying to do. Sometimes it wins, sometimes it doesn't. When it wins, it's sin within us that does it. When we win, it's the spirit within us, the new part of us that wins. And it's Jesus that makes all of that happen. Not just at the time we got saved, but day in and day out for the rest of our lives, until in the end, he finally completes what he started. In another place it says that he who began a good work in you will continue it until the day of Christ. That's what he's talking about. He began this good work in us, and he'll continue it day in and day out, day in and day out, day in and day out, till that day when he gives us the brand new body to go with our brand new spirit, and we never have to worry about this again. We never have this conflict within us again, and we spend eternity like that. Isn't that awesome? I mean, that's the thing I'm looking forward to. That's the hope that we have. Thank God that through Jesus Christ, our Lord, he can deliver me. He delivered me. He will deliver me day after day, and he'll completely deliver me at some point in the future. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He says, here's the deal, guys. That's what he's saying. In my mind, in my spiritual part, in this new part of me that was recreated and resurrected in Christ Jesus, he taught us that in the first part of chapter 6, this new part of me, with it, I serve the law of God gladly. I delight in it. There's nothing more that I love than that. But with the flesh, with this body that hasn't been redeemed yet, this body that hasn't been transformed into the image of Christ yet, this body is still corrupted with sin. There is a law of sin that still dwells within it. So with my flesh, unfortunately, I still serve the law of sin. And I have that conflict day in and day out to deal with. And the way that I can deal with it is through the Spirit. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Live each day controlled by the Holy Spirit. Live each moment of each day controlled by the Holy Spirit. That's what he's saying. And when we walk one step at a time. I can't walk from here to Montevallo in one jump. I get there one step at a time. And to walk in the Spirit means just that. Moment by moment, step by step, day by day, allow the Holy Spirit to control us. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we live controlled by the Spirit, each of those moments where the Spirit is in control, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It is in those steps, in those moments, when the flesh is in control, that we sin. And that's the only difference between the two. If on this step we're doing what God wants us to do, then we're in the Spirit. If on the next step we're doing something He doesn't want us to do, then we're in the flesh. And just as easily as we went from being in the Spirit to in the flesh, we can repent of that sin and ask God to forgive us and go right back to being in the Spirit on the next step. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So, I mean, we're in a situation, right? We're in a place to where we're halfway to where God wants us to be. When we trusted in Jesus Christ, at that moment, He completely transformed us spiritually. Spiritually, there's no more sin within us. But in our humanness, that part He did not transform. That's why we still get sick. That's why we still die. That's why we still age. That's why all these things that are the effects of sin still happen to our bodies. It hasn't been transformed yet. They haven't been changed into the image of Christ yet, like our spirit has. But one day they will be. But in the meantime, we have this conflict going on. If we understand that it's there, and we understand why it happens, we don't have to lose heart. We don't have to feel like we just can't do it, because we know that the Holy Spirit is there within us. And each step we take, if we take that step in the Spirit, that we know that we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. We won't do what sin wants us to do. But if we take that step in the flesh, that's when it takes us captive. That's when it pokes that spear in our chest and says, "You're mine," and we sin. So, if we're going to deal with sin, first thing we got to do is get real with the situation and know where we really stand. And once we do that, then we're in a place where we're prepared to work against it. We're prepared to win this war. If we don't know we're in a war, we're going to lose it. So the first thing we got to know is that we're in a war. And now that we're in it, we need a plan. The plan is to walk in the Spirit, allow the Holy Spirit to control us. And when we do that, we will be able to win the war. At any time when we switch from allowing the Holy Spirit to control us, that's when sin and the flesh begins to win the war and the tide turns against us. And we sin and we fail God and we fail ourselves and we fail one another. So let's all try to walk in the Spirit each day, each moment, asking Him what He wants us to do, asking Him where He wants us to be, what He wants us to say, submitting ourselves to His control, day in and day out.